are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, you are powered by the SID Media. You can go to ssnet.org, in order for you to follow through with our lesson study. And we started yesterday nicely there with the Big Brother. Pastor Amos Maforo there, where we're speaking about all things that teach us to pray. You know, so we laid a good foundation there, where we spoke about fostering the use of psalms in prayer and also trust in times of trouble, right? And he's back again today, where we're going to be focusing on a psalm of despair. So you can let me know on +27 7347 0352 0 what your questions or comments are as we go through the lessons. That, remember, he's not preaching, it's a study, man. Like, we are all, you know, we are all asking questions and engaging, you know. It's not a sermon. So please do engage with us there as we are going through with the lesson study. Mfundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am good, Mfu. I hope that you're good and blessed.
The Lord has been good. I had a great day yesterday, even today. The day has been lovely.
Amen. Amen. Mfundisi, before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray so that the Holy Spirit may guide us in this conversation?
Oh, yes. Let us pray. Our Father, what in heaven, we'd like to thank you for the gift of immortality. We thank you for your protection. Now we're going to open your word. All we ask is your divine presence in the form of the Holy Spirit, who was there when this word was being written, to explain it to us better so that we understand and we live by that word. This is our humble prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, we are on a psalm of despair. Quite interesting, I must say. And as they started the lesson, they praying the psalm does more than enable worshippers to articulate their prayers freely. English. So you may take over, Mfundiswami, with this study there. Let's hear what you have for us.
Oh, yes. This is an interesting psalm. We're building on the psalms we touched on Sunday, fostering the use of psalms in prayer and the trust in times of trouble. It's more or less the same thing. But today now, we want to talk about the psalm of despair.
Uh-huh.
The psalm that we've been given, chapter 22.
Yes.
This is an interesting psalm. Where have you heard these words? 22 verse 1. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Jesus.
These are very famous words, isn't it? We say this, it was Jesus, isn't
yes!
it?
Yes!
It was Jesus. But who wrote the psalm?
Hey.
Jesus was actually quoting somebody. That
yes.
wasn't that. Those weren't Jesus' original words, you know? It's actually taking me back to the discussion we had yesterday, where we spoke about when we pray, you know, when we've ate this word, it's in us.
Yeah.
Whenever we're in trouble, you'll be able to quote, you know, and reflect on that psalm. Actually, Jesus was hanging on the cross when he uttered these words. Just imagine. So painful. They have pierced his hands. As we're going to see, this psalm actually talks about that they'll pierce my hands and what have you.
Yes.
Jesus is hanging there. Then he actually says, my God, my God. Why have you forsaken me?
Mm.
You know, I don't know, Zan, have you ever felt that God is far from you?
Yes.
You know, no, like God has forsaken you. You know, at times you feel God is not here. I'm all alone.
Yep.
Most of us, we identify with that, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, things are not well. You know, left, right, and center, you are attacked.
Yes.
This is what was happening with Jesus. He's hanging there. Remember what we said earlier? Jesus had said, no, God, this cup, you know, I wish that it would depart from me.
Mm.
But let not my will be done, but your will. And if you read about what was happening, it says all the sins of the world were on Jesus. The sins that had been done and the sins that were being done and the sins that were going to be done, what the sins that we're doing now, they were all on Jesus.
Yes.
And the Father was looking at Jesus. He was looking at sin, you know. Remember, Jesus did not sin.
Yeah.
But there, sin was on him. Then he cries now, my Father, my Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?
actually was quoting the Psalm of David. David sing this song. He was in great suffering when David prayed this psalm. You know, why have you forsaken? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? That's verse 1.
Yeah.
It says, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. You know, I'm always crying. I'm telling you, Lord, I need this. But it seems you are deaf. You are not, you know, you can't even hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know, listeners, whether you've gone through this in life where you feel you have been forsaken. You've been left alone to tread the winepress alone. No. So this psalm, it's a psalm of despair to people who are suffering. People who want to express their grief and sense of loneliness. You know, at times you are lonely. You know, you are all alone. You feel, you know, you can be in a sea of people. There at work, everyone is with you.
So, but feel alone.
You know, you feel alone. So it's a psalm for such. Jesus was alone. Remember what had happened to the disciples? They'd forsaken him. Remember, he came to them. Couldn't you just wait, you know? Beling elinde na amihora live linye. Can you just wait with me in prayer and pray with me? But they would sleep.
Yep.
Now, Peter had fled the scene. All the disciples had gone and he was all alone. Now, these words, they actually uttered them when he was hanging on the cross.
Yeah.
You know, then he says, my God, why has you forsaken me? I would like to believe literally the Lord had forsaken him, yeah? Because you know what he's saying? Literally, you know what happened? When he said these words, it says there was darkness. You know, when God looks upon this earth, you know what actually lights up this earth? It's not the sun.
Yes.
It is God. When he looks at us, it says the sun was dark and there was a great earthquake. My Lord, why have you forsaken? There was a time when God could not face sin. You know, Isaiah 59 says, your sins have separated me from you. Remember?
Yes.
So now all the sins were on Jesus. There had to be a separation. If you read the book Desire of Ages, there was a moment when God and his son were separated from each other because of our sins. So this is a psalm of despair. The first point we would want to emphasize, Jesus was in despair and he was quoting this psalm. So it actually shows us that the psalms were inspired also. If Jesus, being God himself, he had to quote this psalm, which means it was the psalms are inspired, these prayers are necessary. Oh, just imagine a revolution that can happen in our lives, my sister, if we could pray the psalm way. You know, quoting the psalms.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just skimming through the Psalm 22 here, and as you say, I think the opening of it, you know, it does take us to Jesus on the cross, when you go down with that one, for example, verse 2, it says there, oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer me by night, and I am not silent. And I think it's because most of us, we've gone through things, we've gone through situations where we feel like God is silent, you know, and I've actually adopted the word saying that God has blue-ticked us, you know, we are now WhatsApp people, you know, and to see that whatever that David went through, because we would have people in Pundisi that are saying, hey man, the things in the Bible, they're just stories, but for these words that David said to resonate with us now in 2024 is like, wow, okay, this is quite interesting, because when he says I cried out by day and he didn't answer me, we know we pray and he doesn't answer, we pray by night, he still does not answer.
Hey Matut, you know, you remind me, Jehovah,
yes,
you
he
know,
does.
He's just blue-ticking me, you know. He's not answering. Actually, if you read verse 4 and 5, he actually refers to the past.
Yes.
He says our father trusted in thee. They actually prayed to you and trusted you, and you delivered them.
Yeah.
But you're not delivering me, you know. He is referring to the what we said. No, let us not forget how the Lord has delayed us in the past.
Yeah.
He has led us. That's what I'm saying. In the past, you did this, but now why are you not doing it? You know, there are moments whereby you can't rely on past glory.
Yes.
You know, where you need God there, the present time. So this psalm, you know what I love about the psalm is he was actually honest, what we said yesterday, he expressed himself, the experience, he was able to articulate their prayer, his prayer freely. You know, the psalm, you say out your prayers. Have you ever seen, you know, when an Adventist is praying, do you know, you actually tell, even if it's on the phone, that this one is an Adventist. When you pray, you know, the prayer is the written script. You shouldn't be like that. You know, they put these words, you know, they will pray like this and they will say this actually.
Give us an example.
Always, you know, when we are praying, even for the sick, the line, you know, it's more like as if it's a lack of faith. You never, in an Adventist prayer, you never miss the line, Baba wetu, intande yako mayenziwe.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like people believe that actually they want his will to be done, because his will can be like this person, let them sleep.
Hey.
You know, that's God's will. We need to accept that. But the way we say it, it's a statement of a lack of faith. Now it's looking at somebody, ah, this person might die. If I pray for life, there might be no life. But this is how we say it. Number two, at times there's so much jargon, you know, that we put that people don't even understand, you know? Yeah. In our vernacular, in the vernacular, when you're praying, the, you know, they'll say, all these words, but you're confusing. Prayers should not be like that. It should be a simple and straightforward prayer, you know? Even if I'm confounded, listen to verse 5. He said, they cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But now I am confounded. This is what the psalmist is saying.
Yeah.
I am a worm, no man, and reproach of men, despised of the people.
Yeah.
So he is actually expressing what they are going through.
Yeah.
So number one point, we see it in Matthew 27:46. Jesus what? Actually quoting this prayer. Now, if we look at other texts, like let me jump, I'll come back to the other ones. I want this one in verse 22.
Yeah.
He says, when I've gone through all this, I've gone through suffering and trials, you know, when I've expressed thee and you seem not to care, but I come to verse 22, this is what I will do.
Yeah.
I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. Even if I'm hanging there on the cross, just like Job, where he say, though he slay me, I know my Redeemer liveth. You know, this is the kind of faith. Even if I'm in despair, what I know is that my God liveth. Even if I say, my God, why have you forsaken me? A simple thing, the question we can put there across also is that, does God forsake people? Does it?
I'm putting this. Me, I want to keep my job now. I
feel that I've been forsaken. But honestly, does he forsake people?
Yeah, yeah. I'm putting this. There is a question that has come through from Pastor Bangisi here, saying that, "Good morning, Zanele and the pastor. Does this mean it's okay to recite psalms in prayers? Even Jesus recited them. I thought we need to pour ourselves from the heart instead of doing recitations."
Beautiful. No, that's a beautiful question. Actually, it will help us explain here. We are not saying we just make it as a rite, whereby a ritual, you know, whereby it loses its sense, whereby you just repeat the words of somebody.
Yeah.
Remember, these are inspired words.
Okay.
The reason why they're in the canon, why they're in the Bible, they are inspired words. Like we said the other day, our memory text when we read, it says now, we need to remember. It says, teach us to pray. Remember? Now, this is the part of praying. Saying, no, praying the same way. When Jesus was on the cross there, actually, that was a prayer. Isn't prayer is communion with God? Isn't it?
Yes.
Is to a friend. What he did there, it was a prayer. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Quoting the Psalms, isn't it? In his prayer, he quotes, isn't it? So there is nothing wrong now when you are praying that you quote. What are you quoting? When you are quoting the way, you are actually quoting the word of God. You are reminding him of what he said earlier. So it's not like those prayers whereby, you know, most religions, they recite prayers whereby it loses its meaning. It has to make sense. This is why we are saying you don't just quote any psalm. It has to be relevant to the situation. And it has to apply to you. I cannot say, my God, why have you forsaken me whilst I'm at a wedding?
Okay.
Just makes sense. But if I'm going through something, you know, then I quote this psalm. I actually remind, it's actually not helping God. Actually helping me. It's actually helping me, strengthening me. You can say you're forsaken by God whilst you're being married to somebody. You know, enjoy. Just like the songs. Just like the songs. You know, you can't sing there is no abiding city here at a wedding. You know? As a killing pella. Like, you know, your fiance will just be shocked. What kind of a song is this one? It has to be relevant to the situation.
Yeah.
So I hope my pastor there, we are actually addressing that, quoting the Psalms, so praying the Psalms where actually improves our prayer life.
Okay.
Because the truth is we do not know how to pray. We don't know how to communicate with God. So here, through the inspired writers, we are actually learning how to pray. This is what he's saying now. I feel I've been forsaken, but this God does not forsake me. Okay? I can see. That's why he's saying now, even amidst, in verse 22, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. Inasmuch as I feel, you know, I've been forsaken, even when I'm feeling I'm being forsaken, what I will do is to praise you, oh my God.
Yes, yes.
I think this one you will love. This one whereby it's also it's a psalm of more like a vengeance. If you look at let me start with verse 16. If you look at verse 16, do you have it close to you there?
Yes. For dog
compass me.
Hey. Yeah, it says, I'm reading in the NIV, dogs have surrounded me, a band of evil men have encircled me, they have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones, just there.
Yeah, no, it's okay. You can read verse 17, it also makes sense.
Okay, let me go 16 to 19. Let me just start again. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. 18. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. You?
Beautiful. This is 700 years before Jesus.
You?
Okay.
Yeah.
Whose life actually fits there? Whose hands were pierced? You know? He's saying all these people here who are actually, these dogs have come encompassed me. The assembly of the wicked. If you read about at the crucifixion there, it actually says, you know what? If you read the book Desire of Ages, the topic crucifixion, it actually says that crucifixion at Golgotha there, it says there was the dog was there with these demons. And first person to say crucify him, it was the devil. And the people followed and the demons also followed. They crucify him, you know. He says now, they pierced my hands. Just imagine, at that time when this psalm was written, there was no such kind of death. So they pierced my hands and my feet. Who had this life? You see now, that's why I was saying these are inspired words, isn't it?
Yep.
All right? say, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They didn't break the bones of Jesus. Actually, they part my garments among them and cast lots. You remember there on Matthew chapter 27? Actually, yeah. They cast lots on Jesus' clothes.
Huh.
You know? To share the clothes. They could not divide. You know, the garments are seamless. Remember? They had to cast lots on it.
Yeah.
So it's a prophetic term. Hmm. This is what we need to understand.
Yeah.
And it's still applicable to our life today.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much prophetic and it's so powerful.
Mm.
But a powerful psalm. Yeah.
He
says now.
No, I wanted to say we have a comment from Brother Emmanuel. I think we should take it before we because, yeah, we might lose it somewhere. Brother Emmanuel is saying that regarding whether God answers prayers or not, I believe God answers according to what he sees as being the best for us. If the prayer is a selfish one and that which does not resonate with the values of his kingdom, we shouldn't be surprised if the answers don't come. We ought to pray and ask for that which continually glorifies the name of God. Whether he answers or not is not our concern. We should continue praying ceaselessly, though. Ah, Brother Emmanuel, when he doesn't answer, we are worried. Okay, Mfundisi, any thoughts?
Beautiful. I agree with the brother there.
Yeah.
Though I will differ on the point that God does not answer. All I can say is God answers all the time.
Mm.
It's just that we don't like the answer that we've been given.
Yes.
If your son or daughter asks for a knife, hello, no kid can ask for a knife or a scissors.
Mm.
Will you give them?
No.
Or they are playing with a knife. What do? You take it by force, you know, because you know this is dangerous. Or they are playing with a matchstick, you know. You know this. You don't have to explain to them. Just imagine they use that knife. They actually prick their eye. They pierce their eyes, isn't it? When they are old, will you be able to explain, my son, you know, you were carrying a knife and I was trying to be an understanding parent. I didn't want to take it away from you by force.
Mm.
You know, when they are older, they will understand. This is why when they are older, you explain to them, my child, you wanted to play with it. I took it away from because I loved you.
Mm.
So there are certain things that we ask God. There are knives that are dangerous to us. He knows that this Lamborghini, if I give you this car, you will drive at the speed of 300 miles per hour and you will lose your life. You will be too proud. You know? God knows in his wisdom. So I agree with the brother. Yes, God answers. But all I can say is he answers in the affirmative. I love the way Paul puts it. He said, I prayed to God three times. There is a thorn in my flesh, isn't it?
Yeah.
I prayed God for him to heal me. You know?
Yeah.
But he didn't, you know? And I did not bother praying continuous because God had already answered. Actually, God answered. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, for my strength is made manifest in weakness. You know, Paul would move around healing people, yet he had a sickness himself.
Yeah.
So we need to accept God's will, you know, his answers. It's just that when it's not in the affirmative, we say it's no, we are not answered. You know,
true.
A young person is praying for marriage and no one is coming forth, and they say, God has not answered my prayer. No, he has answered. He's saying, this person is not right for you. That's the answer. Wait. You can listen to this one. He's saying now, when we're given ways to pray, the Psalms teach us to look beyond our current situation by faith to see the time when our life will be restored by God's grace. You know, we look by faith. You know, at times when I've prayed for this particular thing, I'm in despair. I might not have been healed now. I am sick. I have hope I shall be well. Remember what happened to Job. He says he has boils. He has lost all his kids, all his riches. He says, though he slay me. This was his understanding. It wasn't God who was slaying him. It was the devil.
Yeah.
But he says, though he slay me. But I what? I hold on. I know my Redeemer liveth. You know, I know one day you will stand.
Yeah.
That's the kind of faith we have.
Yeah.
You know, it takes worshippers, you know, praying the Psalms takes worshippers to new spiritual horizons. You know, we're not at this realm, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
True.
You know, it takes you to another realm. When you pray, you understand God's mind, you know, what he desires. And I agree with the brother, the pastor who said, no, you know, we need not pray selfish prayers. Do you know selfish prayers? God does not answer.
we must petition God to answer that.
If you want a car, you know how you should pray. You pray, God, may you provide me with a car. You know, so I pray. Then God would you.
So we must.
But now
lie.
When you are fearing,
so we must
the
lie.
Line, you are also in the car, is it?
So
you
we must
also
lie.
In the car. It's
huh? I'm putting this. Okay, so as this psalm, as much as it's a psalm of despair, I think when what I like about it is that the writer, he was going through all of these things, and he has said that some when we read it, it's like a psalm of prophecy, yet also a thing of despair, right? But then it goes there, when it goes down, I think it's let me take it from 22. It says there, okay. I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All the descendants of Jacob, honor him, revere him. All the descendants of Israel. So from 22 going through to 31, you can see that this person has been hurt. You know, he's been shamed. He's been everything. He's been hip whipped. He's been, you know, all those things that he mentioned there. But towards the end, he goes back to say, God, you are good. You know, God, you are God, you know, at the end of the day. So for me, it's a matter of even when you're going through the most, even when you feel like God has forsaken you, but at the end of you saying God has forsaken you, don't forget to worship him. Don't forget to praise him, because he is who he is.
Powerful. I agree with you there. 200%. Yes. You know, at the end of it all, he's still in control.
Yeah.
You know, there's this hymn that goes, on his throne there, he's in control of every situation, seated there on his throne.
Yeah.
You know, when you have prayed about your disappointments, the burdens of pain, anger, and despair before God, we need to trust him, whatever the circumstances, that he will see us through. Through it all, he will see us through. So at the end of the day, we need to praise God. In whatever we're going through, we need to see God. Remember Isaiah. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Uzziah was his uncle. He says, in the year that my uncle died, I saw the Lord. When he was grieving there, he saw the Lord. So in your despair, do you even see God? In that psalm, whatever you're going through, what we need to do, my sister, friends, we need to be honest with God. If I'm down, don't pretend with God. You know, if I'm down, I'm down. If I'm angry, I'm angry. Express it to him. He will make you understand. He will explain things. If you're in pain, you're in pain. Don't pretend. Most of us, we pretend at church. You know, you come to church. You know, every Sabbath when you come to church, you should be delivered. Whatever you're going through, when you leave church, you know, I should be delivered, replenished, rejuvenated, able to go through the next week, knowing that God is in control because I've surrendered all my cares to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, indeed.
Psalm that goes like, oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, what pain, you know, needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry it. We do not take it to the Lord in prayer. We need to pray to take it to the Lord and tell him. And he will deliver us.
Yeah.
You know, the psalmist, after sharing this with God, they were delivered. He would intervene. He will interject. He's always there to give us comfort, to give us, you know, strength in the time of need. Let's trust God all the time.
Yeah, indeed. Pundis, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray as we wrap up the session that, you know what, all that we have learned today, we take it with us.
Oh, yes. So next we meet, we're talking about from despair to hope. Let us pray. Our Father, what in heaven, we've tried our best to share. All we ask is for you to intervene and explain this word to us that we understand. I know there are a lot of questions. Can you help us understand how you answer us in prayer? You're a living God. You're not a dead God. I pray for you to intervene and attend to all the needs of the saints. Why in despair today? Attend to all our challenges and let us hold on to your hand, to your unchanging hand. Be with our leaders in everything that we go through. Be with them. This is our humble prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen, Mpu. Thank you so much. Till we chat again tomorrow. It was a lovely session. We're going to continue again tomorrow.
Good day.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.